Good morning, everyone. It is wonderful to see all of you here at Wellspring Church this morning. In your mailboxes, I have left relief cards for a collection that will start probably soon after my coins count ends. And so we're going to start collecting the items that are on those cards. So check your mailboxes. Okay. Let's turn to the Lord in prayer. Faithful Father, we begin today by giving you thanks. Your love endures forever and it never fails. Though there are many ways in which we have failed, we have not exceeded the supply of your mercy and your grace. We thank you for revealing yourself to us through your word. As we open the Bible today, we pray that we would hear your voice. We ask that your Holy Spirit would be at work, opening our ears to hear and our hearts to receive your word. May we be transformed into your likeness through Christ our Lord. Amen. Happy New Year. Isn't it amazing? Where did 2022 go? Right? Boy, there were lots of ups and downs and everything in between. But here we are. A few years ago, Pastor David Hocking had taken his family out for dinner. And when he came home, their house was almost empty. And the neighbor came running across the street. Hey, you didn't tell us you were moving. They weren't moving. Their house had been robbed. After they pulled their car away to enjoy a nice family dinner, a moving van pulled up and took almost everything out of their house. They walked around their house after calling the police, exclaiming, oh no, they took this, and oh no, they took that. And they quickly learned that the police were unable to keep up with all of the home invasions occurring in their area. And that many times people didn't even bother to call to tell the police that their home had been robbed. It took a bit, but David's family changed their attitude by giving thanks that no one was hurt and that they indeed were not home. And they recognized their attitude toward the material things was affecting their spiritual priorities at that moment. And they took time to pray, and they felt as though their anxiety was lowering as they were spending time with God. Our earthly treasures are only temporary. The secret to happiness is not having more, but in finding peace with a sense of contentment. And we can reflect the same kind of heart that Matthew Henry showed when he said the following after he had been robbed while walking on a city street. Lord, I thank you that I have never been robbed before. That although they took my money, they spared my life. That although they took everything, it wasn't very much. That it was I who was robbed and not I who robbed. I'll be reading from Matthew 6, starting at verse 19. Matthew 6, verse 19. Don't store up your treasures here on earth, where moths eat them and rust destroys them, and where thieves break in and steal. Store your treasures in heaven, where the moths and rust cannot destroy, and thieves do not break in and steal. Wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will also be. Sandra was in Luke and referred to the same passage. Theologian Morgan wrote, "The master does not say it is wrong to possess earthly treasure. He does say it is wrong to lay it up for self. We are to hold it as stewards. We are encouraged to not put our confidence in selfish, stingy, or hoarding ways. And we are encouraged to be aware of how easy in this world it has become to judge someone for what they're wearing, where they live, or what car they drive in. Those who treasure their earthly items tend to them more than those of heavenly matters, It happens over time, and people don't realize that they're doing it. God becomes excluded from their lives or moves lower down the ladder. Our lives do not consist of what we have. We must remember that serving others may not always be easy, but we will be rewarded in eternity. We must remember that nothing is too small that God will not use. Nothing we do for God is in vain. We are a small church. We have big hearts. And we care for others. And we care for each other. Acts 20, verse 35. In everything I did, I showed you that by this kind of hard work, we must help the weak, remembering the words the Lord Jesus himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Galatians 5:13. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. Romans 12, verses 9 to 13. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil and cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourself. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. I'd like to add, be quick to forgive. Be quick to forgive. Let go of things that have upset you. Our material treasures will not pass from this life to the next, but the good that has been done for the kingdom of God through the use of our treasures lasts for eternity. And the work God does in us through faithful giving will last for eternity. I read, and perhaps you have heard of the story or the notion that you will never see a truck full of earthly possessions following a hearse to the cemetery. It's just not going to go with you. Going back to Matthew 6, starting at verse 22. Your eye is a lamp that provides light for your body. When your eye is good, your whole body is filled with light. But when your eye is bad, your whole body is filled with darkness. And if the light you think you have is actually darkness, how deep that darkness is. I think of that as the evil. So the eye that is bad, stay away from evil. Don't open up the opportunity to watch something, to have a conversation, to be someplace where you shouldn't be. Verse 24, no one can serve two masters, for you will hate one and love the other. You will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. That is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life. Whether you have enough food and drink or enough clothes to wear, isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? Simply said, don't serve your money. Let your money serve the Lord, and the Lord will serve you. Verse 26, look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you far more vulnerable to him than they are? I found this bird over in Fellowship Hall, and I thought, he is not just stinking worried about a thing, is he? That's my little visual for today. Can all your worries add up to a single moment in your life? And why worry about your clothing? Look at the lilies of the field and how they grow. They don't work or make clothing. Yet Solomon, in all his glory, was not dressed as beautifully as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for wildlife and here that are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, he will certainly care for you. Why do you have so little faith? Why do we turn to worrying? He's just not going to sit back up here. Why is it so easy to sink into worry, allowing evil thoughts to come into our minds? Verse 31. So don't worry about these things, saying, what will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers, but your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. Does it hurt to ask him for your needs? No, he wants to hear that. He wants to hear that. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. The worry many people feel in today's world over material things is rooted in a low understanding of the value before God, of their value before God. They don't give much thought to how much God loves them and cares for them. There is little to no understanding of their values of God. Oh, if they only knew how much God loves them, how much God cares for them. It's called faith. We all need to recognize his love for us is immeasurable, beyond words. You have a heavenly Father that knows your needs and loves you dearly. Stress and worry are great contributors to the disease and poor health conditions that Americans find themselves in. Most of the time, the things that we worry about don't even happen. And when a trial does happen, the Lord helps us through it. It usually leads to an amazing life lesson, a story to share with others, and it usually leads to giving thanks to our Lord. Those birds out there, they're not worried about their next meal. They don't expect to be fed. They will work for their meals. And then they seem to fly about without a worry in the world. God knows your needs. Honor him by being good workers, being good people, good husbands, good wives, good co-workers, good neighbors. Seek the kingdom of God first. This commitment to seek God first is the fundamental choice that we make when we become believers. Know that God will take care of things. Jesus just didn't stop worrying. He told the people to replace worry with the concern for the kingdom of God. What's the next true and honest and best step to take to honor God? Take on the better habit of seeking the will of God. These things will be added to your life: heavenly treasure, rest in divine provision, and the fulfillment of God's highest purpose, fellowship with him and being part of his kingdom. Can you imagine fellowship with him? All the stories we've read, all the lessons we've learned, to stand in front of him, to share stories with him, to hear his blessings. Think of these every day. The thoughts that you have, the things that you say, the things that you do as a Christian, as a child of God, will either reinforce your commitment or deny it. How easy is it to say, I'm sorry, from your heart when you know you've made a mistake? I forgive you. I love you. May I bring you soup? May I give you a car ride? We are encouraged by God to remember the past, plan for the future, but live for the now. Live for this day. Live for the kingdom of God. This is a good starting point for 2023. Live for the kingdom of God. God's steadfast love covers us in our daily trials and troubles, and there will be troubles. We are reminded in Psalm 138 that God cares greatly, and he is worthy of thanks and worship. Here the psalmist gives thanks and praises God, God's goodness, on behalf of an individual for deliverance from a difficult situation. Psalm 138. I give you thanks, O Lord, with all my heart. I will sing your praises before the gods. I bow before your holy temple as I worship. I praise your name for your unfailing love and faithfulness. For your promises are backed by all the honor of your name. As soon as I pray, you answer me. You encourage me by giving me strength. Every king in all the earth will thank you, Lord, for all of them will hear your words. Yes, they sing about you, about the Lord's ways, for the glory of the Lord is very great. Though the Lord is great, he cares for the humble, but he keeps his distance from the proud. Though I am surrounded by troubles, you will protect me from the anger of my enemies. You reach out your hand, and the power of your right hand saves me. The Lord will work out his plans for my life. Let me say that again. The Lord will work out his plans for my life. For your faithful love, O Lord, endures forever. Don't abandon me, for you made me. Let us pray. Father God, thank you for the blessings that you have bestowed upon our lives. You have provided us with more than we could ever have imagined. You have surrounded us with people who always look out for us and care for us. May God's blessings shower upon each of us here today and each of us in the world. May we have a bright, healthy, and peaceful new year. God of all time, help us enter the new year quietly, thoughtfully, and thinking who we are to ourselves and to others. Mindful that our steps make an impact and our words carry power. May we walk gently and may we walk in peace. In your name, amen.